Okay, so.
Up the step.
I'm going to put you on mute, and we're going to get started. Good evening, and good evening to you. I greet you with love and respect with all my heart. I am Reverend Jeanine Macklin, author, speaker, and your sacred wealth guide. And this is Manna and Manifesting, How to Heal Your Relationship with God and Money for Your Success. So this is all about you and your relationship with God and money and the success that you want to see manifesting in your life, the success that you desire, the success that you deserve. That's your birthright. My intention for each one of these calls from your emails that you sent me is to awaken a possibility within you, to crack open your heart and your consciousness in such a way that there are these aha moments and that you're willing to step out of any boxes, any limitation, any fear to try something. Because you know what? You can always go back to the way it was. You can always go back to thinking the way it was. But I'm calling you to step into a bigger version of yourself, as well as a bigger and larger version of the God that you define that is the author of your life. So my intention is that you'll hear something, that your soul, your heart will hear something that will spark and trigger an awareness that elevates your consciousness, illuminates the possibility of more abundance, more money, more peace of mind in your life and in your experiences and in your businesses and in your future. The very thing that you feel uncomfortable with and the very thing that you say, oh, no, I can't do that. That's the very thing that I'm hoping you'll be called to step into. Because remember, you can always go back to the way it was. So the intention, I said, is for all that, the shift in your consciousness, the opening in your heart, an expression of greater love and compassion. Tonight, I want to be mindful that when I talk about money, I'm talking about God. There is no separation for me. There is no separation for me. Money and God are the same. And I wanted to specifically begin to dive in tonight the conversation about how you feel about money. And the relationship that you have with money, that I don't think that you may think of it in that regard. And the reason why I decided to step forward and have this conversation was because I took the journey. I've walked the walk with you, or walked it out before you. I can remember being in scarcity. I can remember thinking that there wasn't enough, that my job was all that there was. And seemingly, no matter how much I saved and how much I had in my safe retirement accounts, it never seemed to manifest as an abundance that I just felt in my soul and spirit with my divine birthright. That in the plentifulness that I've read over the years in the Bibles and in the sacred scriptures and the sacred texts, there was just this overflowing abundance that was our birthright. So I walked through the credit card debt, not only once, but twice. I'd pay it off once and then thought that was so great and wonderful that I ran the credit cards up again and then had to pay it off again. I walked through the bankruptcy. I walked through feeling that money just wasn't going to come to the other side of having a breathtaking life at this point, to having two homes that I moved back and forth through, to having a series of cars, of luxury cars, to having a wonderful marriage, an amazing son, my personal travel is first class, and great friends. And then to have created a business after I got fired in 2011, I started business in 2012, consciously creating your life. For you to be conscious in how you create your life. And I've been able to move that to a thriving six-figure business in 16 months. To have clients that I travel on their private planes and go to the Bahamas with them, celebrity clients, and then just VIP clients and clients that step into my Sacred Wealth Success System program and shift their awareness. And I teach it because no one taught me. I teach it because it wasn't a conversation at the dinner table. I teach it because they didn't teach me in college. I have a master's degree. I'm a licensed clinical therapist. But they didn't teach it in college. I teach it because if I can do it, it is clear to me that so can each and every one of you on this call who are maybe already doing it and you want to do more and you get to. Or those of you who are doing whatever it is you're doing and you want to do more as far as having more. I teach it because I don't know anybody else that's teaching it to us and saying this is what's possible for you and this is how you do it. Now, granted, 6 weeks won't get us through all of it because it took me several years to walk through it to get to the point where it's integrated throughout my being. It's what I do and who I am. My mentor's always teasing me about the fact that you just live that way or you just do it. And she said, pull out what you do so you can share it. But I'm teaching it because I'm committed to you having the life that you deserve, that it's your birthright. I'm committed to you knowing the principles. I teach spiritual principles and sacred practices that pave the way for greater profits, greater purpose, and greater passion. So at least at the end of it, and if you work with me at some other point or if you come to the retreat, you won't be able to say, well, I didn't know. Nobody told me. Because now you'll know. So that's what's behind the move to really open up or somewhat kind of pull back the curtain on money and God. And certainly, as I said last week, bringing the two into one. And as we talk about money tonight, I'm talking about God. Now, here's something for you to think about that may make that more of a reality for you. Money is paper, right? We would all agree that money is paper. I suspect the next thing that we would agree is that paper comes from what? Trees. Okay, we know trees are living, breathing, energy, alive beings. We think of it as nature, we think of it as creation, but they are rooted in the soil of Mother Earth. And Mother Earth is alive, vibrating presence and energy that happens to look like a round ball spinning throughout the universe, what we call the solar system. So when you track it back, it's energy. When you track it back, because the trees give us oxygen. The trees sustain us. When you think about what money is made of, what that piece of paper is made of, it's part of the beautiful pictures and everything that's on it and all the different colors and 3D designs. It's paper. Paper comes from trees. Trees are rooted in the earth. Mother Earth is the energy of life. So keep that in mind. When I say money is God and God is money, that's what I'm talking about. Who created the earth? Who created the universe? Who has everything up in the solar system, not colliding? And maybe that can help you move it into a oneness. Now, I'm going to teach this today in a fun way because I think it's fun to be able to talk about money without anything heavy on it, without any levity on it, with levity. And several months ago, probably even last year, I was in the office and I was talking with our global manager, affairs manager, and we were talking about money. And I was saying to her, well, how are you doing with your money? And she's like, well, you know, it's okay. And I said, well, tell me about, you know, what's going on with your money. And she really couldn't put it into words. So what I said to her is, I said, okay, if money was a boyfriend, then tell me, how is your relationship with money? And she said, oh, that? She said, well, I can't depend on him. He comes, he goes. Sometimes he's here, sometimes he's not. And it opened up a whole new dialogue about her relationship with money. Now, to my brothers on the phone, you just flip the script, of course. And I suspect maybe you have the same kind of relationship with us that we may have with some of you. And that was just hers. But what that said to me is that we could begin to talk about it as a relationship, as the relationship that you have with money. So from that perspective, I then said, well, let's come to the call tonight and talk about your relationship with money. How do you feel about money? Now, I'm going to give you some scenarios. You know, star two is how you communicate with me at this point. And later on, we'll actually talk. But if I were to say, how many of you feel frustrated with money? Star two and let me know if that resonates with you. Anybody feel frustrated when they think about money or in your relationship with money? Okay, I see a few hands. Okay, I guess that's pretty good. Most of you guys are not frustrated. Anyone feel angry or resentful about money? Not showing up, not being there. Anyone feel kind of neutral? You know, it's like, okay, it's just money, and, you know, it's just here to basically do what it, you know, mechanisms of it, to do what it does, and, you know, that's it. Money is money. Is there anyone, I see a few of your hands, anyone who just loves and enjoys money? You love it, you appreciate it. Star two to raise your hand. So a few of you love it. A few of you love it and appreciate it. So what I want you to do, because so far some of you are not angry about it, you're not resentful, you're not frustrated, you're not neutral, and you don't love it. So then you really want to look at what is your relationship with money. How is it that you really feel with money? When you touch money, you guys are at a place right now, go in your wallets and take out some money and hold it in your hand. And then notice, how do you feel about money? Because if you think about it, let's say money was a lover that you hadn't seen, because obviously you all see money quite a bit from your hands, either going up or it's not going up. And money came to your door. And for those who are angry and frustrated, when you open the door, let's do that, and money were to be standing there, what would you say to money? Just visualize with me. Your front door, the doorbell rings, and you open the door, and money's standing there. What would you say? And I trust that you have a pen and a paper because I want you to write that down. And then for those of you who are joining us in the Facebook group, the Money Mastery group, I want you to put those answers in there. Money's at your door. And you open the door. And you're in a relationship with money. How are you feeling when you open the door and money is standing there? Are you frustrated? Say, well, what took you so long? I've been waiting on you and waiting on you. I prayed for you. You didn't come when I needed you to come, and now you want to show up? Is that one response? Maybe your response is, oh, great, now you come. come on in. How long I've been waiting on you? You got here, okay, fine. And now, you know, go pay the water bill and go pay the car note and go pay the rent or go pay the mortgage and go pay the doctor bills and go take care of the house. And then, okay, now you're done. Are you open up the door and money comes in? And you're standing there, you're looking at money, money's kind of looking at you. And you're like, okay, you're here. That's fine. We got just enough. Do what we need to do. Glad you showed up. Or you go to the door and you open the door and money is there. And you are just elated to see it. I am so glad you're here. I missed you. I love you. I'm sorry for any limitations I put on you. I'm sorry for any smallness that I had. I realize now that that was all me, that that had nothing to do with you, that there is no limitation to you at all. I'm so excited of the possibilities of what we can create, what we can do together. You are so amazing. You're connected to that infinite power and presence in the universe. Come in. Have a seat. Be here with me. Let's see what we can do together. What kind of wonderful music can we make together? What can we create together? When money comes to the door and you open the door, how do you feel about money? And I ask you that for this simple reason. Now, I'm sure all of you have friends, right? You have ride or die friends. You have friends that you love hanging out with. But tell me, how do you feel about being around people that really aren't that excited to see you or really, you know, don't make you feel good when you're with them? I would believe that you're like, okay, never mind. We don't need to go around there. We don't need to be with them. That's just too much. Well, I want you to know money feels the same way. Because when you connect it to energy, then money feels the same way. And if your energy is a low vibration, first of all, if your energy is angry, frustrated, disappointed, not enough, or just enough, or needing, then money be like, okay, I'm not hanging out with you because you that energy is just pushing me away. It becomes a trigger that rejects the money. It's just something for you to think about, how you really feel about money when you recognize that it's energy. See, so much of what's created the blockage, if you will, around money flowing into our lives. We just primarily looked at the piece of paper. And we thought that piece of paper was the beginning and the end. But what the secret was trying to reveal and what Napoleon Hill taught in Think and Grow Rich, if you don't have it, please get it, is that there's an energy that permeates the entire universe. Everything that there is energy. And just like when you walk into a club or you walk into a party and there's a click of an energy between you and the other person across the room, be it male or female, based on who you are, that energy there, you can't see it. It's invisible, but you feel it. Well, it's the same thing with everything else. If it's the car you want to attract, if it's the home that you want to attract and live in, if it's the quality of relationship that you want, if it's the quality of health that you want, if it's the success that you want in your business, all of it, including money, has energy, is energy. So when we're beginning to be in a relationship with money and accept that it is a relationship, that which you appreciate, you draw more to you. That which you're happy and excited about, you draw more to you. Then you begin to see it's not just a piece of paper. I've put piece of paper, I think I said before, on the floor in many of my workshops or at the retreat and things like that, and we move around and it stays right where it is the whole time. It doesn't matter if it's $10, $50, or $100 bill. It has no power. Where it gets its momentum is how we feel about it, what our heart really feels about it. So when we're in conflict, like someone said to me this past week when I was talking to them, that God and money, the two of them just couldn't go together. It's like there was no way. In all that she had been taught growing up, there was just no way. Because we were putting money separate and apart, like man-made money. So man made money and it's over there. And then God made what, everything else? Because money was bad. You can't serve money and serve God. That's what it says. But I don't know about you. But for me, I never intended to serve money. I never intended to. So I think it was just something maybe about the way they said it that made it seem so bad and separated out like it was just the worst thing. Because if we had been clear years and years ago that we weren't planning on serving money, we would have been in an alignment for more money and more abundance to flow through us, through our lives, through our businesses, through our legacies, through our community, and then globally on this planet. Serve God, serve the universe, serve the magnificent. That's one thing. Money, I want money to serve me. I want money to be the tool that allows me to create the kind of life that I want to create, allows me to send my son to a private school if that's what's best for him as far as education. It allows me to create a legacy, to plan for retirement. You know, what is it you would want money to create as that tool for you? Write that down. Write that down so you can begin to look at that. And it's a tool just like anything else. When you want to nail something, you use a hammer. That's the tool. So it becomes the tool that you draw on to be able to create a particular kind of life, but even more important, take it to the next level, to be able to have an impact on the world and on this planet. So it was really, you know, it really just wasn't cool when they were saying to us, you know, money's the root of all evil. No, we are the root of all evil. I still have money laying on the floor at the retreat center and nobody's touched it. It ain't created any evil. Okay, matter of fact, check it out. Tell me if that you agree with that. Star 2, if you agree, the money is not the root of all evil. It's not creating evil. Star 2. Raise your hand. I just want to see where we are in our thinking. So, I don't know if that means that some of you think it and the rest of you agree. Because I expect that we all Star 2 up. But then if it's not, then I want you to think about it. Money doesn't rob banks. Money doesn't buy drugs. It is used for that by a person. On its own, it does nothing. It doesn't break up marriages. The conversation and disagreements and arguments about it can have an impact on a marriage. But again, money hasn't done anything. And if you get that, it can be really clear, money is not the root of all evil. Someone kills someone for money, that's the person. Money didn't do it. Take all the scenarios that you can think of right quick and see if money is doing it, money itself. Embezzlement, money doesn't embezzle. All the people, I can't remember right now, but you know all the people in the news that have embezzled, that's run the Ponzi scheme. That was some man using his brilliance in a different kind of way. But it wasn't money. It wasn't money. So I want you to begin to look at what you've been told, what you've heard, what you've allowed to seep in deep. Because one of the women I talked to this week said, it's just in there so deep, bro. She's like, it's what I heard. It's what I grew up with. I'm wanting you to dismantle some of that. I do. I want you to dismantle some of that, to really look at what's real, so you can claim something different for yourself. Bank robbers, not the money. That money will stay right there in the vault until they come get it. It's us. It's our thoughts. It's our behavior. And money becomes the tool for what we use it for. And we get to decide what that's going to be and what that's going to look like beyond just paying bills. Because something else I realize as well is so many of us, because of the teaching from a young age, have created lives where we need money. And so money is hard. You know, need money to pay bills. We need money to buy clothes. Although I still wonder about those 100 and 200 pair of tennis shoes, about $150 to $200 pair of tennis shoes the kids are walking around. I know what you were doing, but we have money. But we've allowed ourselves to create a life of needing money. That means money can't come to us easy. We can't be in a relationship with it where it comes with grace and ease. We need it. It comes, fills that need, and it's gone. Because our vision of it isn't bigger. We have a vision of it coming and staying. You put it in an account and you let it stay. We don't necessarily have a vision of it coming beyond needs, but to fulfill our dreams, to fulfill our goals. Even for those of you with business, you have this idea potentially that money comes for what you need, for your marketing, it comes for your coaching program, it comes for what you need, a vacation, send the kids to camp, take the kids to Florida, wherever Disney World is, or out here, Disneyland. It's around need, need, need. And that's a narrow way to engage an infinite energy. We haven't created a relationship for money to come easy, to fulfill our dreams, to fulfill our goals, to fulfill our destiny. I want you to think about that. When you look in your life and look at your relationship with money, what you have and what you do with it, more often than not, we've created for need. I need this much money to pay the bills and do this, this, and this, and then I'm fine. Okay, that's one way to do it. What if you could say, can we just have a flow? Let's just have a flow. Like the river flows of abundance that allows to live a dream, to live in comfort without stress and worry, to allow for peace of mind, to allow for emergency funds, for retirement, for credit cards being paid off. Does that resonate with some of you? Does that make sense that more often we've created as a need rather than recognizing that it's more than that and that the need is small versus wanting it to fulfill a destiny and wanting it to fulfill our dreams, to fulfill our goals? Start to if that connects or resonates for you. Oh, cool deal. So some of you are getting that. That resonates and makes sense. Yeah, I mean, look at when you finish tonight, just look over the next couple of days, one of your assignments. Look over the next week. I gave you assignment last week. I didn't forget. I'm coming around to it. Over this next week, look at how you interact with money, what you think with money, and what you say. Well, I need money to take care of the phone bill, or I need money to do this, I need money to that. Listen to your language about it. And that's the way you pull it to you and you draw it to you. You draw it to fill a need. And your phone bill may be $200, maybe $75. So that means you're drawing that much amount from the infinite supply of the universe. Okay, I just need $75. And of course, the universe, personal and impersonal, it doesn't say, okay, excuse me, Carol, or excuse me, Jana, excuse me, Martin, Don't you really want to say that, you know, you need like 10,000 or 15,000? Don't you want to say you want something bigger and larger because to fill your dream, your goals, your destiny? But we haven't been trained that. We aren't thinking that way. Like, let me get this done, get this done, get by, and then I'm good. And if you notice, in most instances, the universe fulfills that request. The universe fulfills your request. Look at your life. Look at what you ask for and look at what you get. And you say, well, Rev, I don't get it right when I need it. Then look at any resentment, look at any anger, any frustration, any non-committal or neutrality around it. Because you didn't give me a start to and raise your hand, but you know what you're feeling in your life. Look at that, how you speak about it. I mean, when we look at the ocean, I don't think at any point or anywhere you are in the world, because I know I've got my friends who are in Germany, I've got another friend in Australia, who sometimes they stay up till late at night to be on the call, but wherever you are in the world, there's a body of water. We don't look at any of that and say, ooh, that's a little ocean. Right? You think about the ocean, and you begin to even think about the depths of it. You know that we can't even imagine how deep an ocean is. And yet when we think about money, we put it in a small little conversation. I don't know if we're afraid to ask and explore something bigger for ourselves. We think we're not deserving of it. We figure, well, God's not listening to me. It says God and money don't go together. I can't ask for that. I just need for you to be mindful of what you're thinking and what you're saying. You know, you've heard that thing, if someone drives up in a Maserati, you know, are you like, oh, look at that. I could have done so much with that money. That money, I wouldn't have spent on a car like that. Do you have that excitement about it? Do you have that joy about it? I heard something today that I thought was a wonderful, wonderful, amazing exercise for you to consider. And that is to create an account. And I know you're used to 10% in tithing. And you're probably doing that to churches more so than to whatever feeds your soul. Because I expanded that to be whatever feeds my soul. But this was particularly creating an account that was rooted in your abundance. It's an account that's rooted in abundance. So maybe 5% of whatever you get, you put in an account. And as I listened to the woman who was talking about it, she said she put in an account, save it, and then she spend it. And then she put some more in the account, she save it, and she spend it. And then she's like, that's not working. That's not the way it's supposed to go. Put it in the account and let it stay there and let it build so that you can feel what it feels like to have money just sitting there. Just sitting there. It can be $10. I don't care where you start, $20. Just don't spend it. Just let it sit there and see what it feels like. And it's your abundance account. It's your abundance account. It's the account that you look at and you smile and say, ah, that's my abundance account. Because see, what we want to do is begin to activate a different energy, a different awareness, different feeling within you as it relates to money. We want to up-level your conversation as it relates to money. I want you to really begin to look at the ways you speak about it, describe it, and allow it to show up in your life. More than anything else. Now, throughout the time, when I'm talking with different people who call me or send me emails or even comment in the Facebook group, credit cards come up in the discussion. As I said, I had credit cards twice. I got credit cards when I was really young. I think I was in college. And I really didn't know it because my parents didn't have credit, so I didn't really understand it, but I was happy to get it. I felt like I had arrived somewhere. I don't know, maybe some of you can relate to that. And so, for me,
my mindset then was, oh, I can get what I want, and I can pay the minimum for it. I read the fine print on the back a little bit and the interest rate, but didn't click. So I can't even say outside of clothes or shoes or purse. It wasn't at that point. I was in college. Like, I was buying TVs or refrigerators or anything like that. I ran up the credit card. So by 32, 33, I was in credit card debt. I.e., I could not keep up with the debt and the interest rate and pay the full amount, the whole balance off, which is what you're supposed to do when you get a credit card. Buy something, pay it off in full. Paid it off, only to run it up again. And I think the second time I used a company that I worked with a company and consolidated everything. Then I may have been a little bit more, my purchases really may have been around a home that I had at that point and a refrigerator and furniture and those kind of things. And I used a company to help pay it off. And then that was it. I was done. It's like, okay, we don't need to do that anymore. I had one card for my business, and I currently put everything on that. But for myself personally, I didn't. And I've come to the conclusion for myself, and you can see if this resonates for you, that I use the credit card. They become an addiction. You know, there's a lot of addicts in the world when you think about it. Addicted to using credit. And what I would say to myself is, I'm going to use my credit card so I can keep my cash. Does that even resonate for anyone? Let me know. Does that resonate for anyone at all? I'm going to use my credit card so I can keep my cash. None of you? You just make conscious choices, huh, when you use your credit card? You have the money there and you still choose to use your credit card? Or are you trying to hold on to your cash so you use your credit card? Okay, there's a few of you that get it. You resonate with me. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. That was maybe my truth. Because the only thing for me is, first of all, I had maybe six. So then I'm saying to people when I coach them and I work with my clients, one woman called me and I asked her, and she was so concerned about credit card debt. And I said, how many do you have? And she went through the list. And she had, I want to say, six or seven credit cards. Right now, go look in your wallet. How many credit cards do you have? Go look. I'll wait. Pull them out. Lay them out. Look at them. Okay, yes, I'm going to wait. Now that you've got them out, laid out in front of you, how many of you have five or more credit cards? Star two. Okay. Five or more. There you are. I see you. Thank you so much for your honesty. I can't see you anyway. Well, I can per se. I can see your name, but I can't see you up front, close and personal. Okay, how many of you have three or less credit cards? You have three credit cards or less. You have three, you have two, or you have one. Star two, you're telling me nobody has any credit cards at all? All you guys are doing everything with cash? I see you. So what I want you to do for yourself is begin to look at the question of how come? How come? I know you can say, well, there's some things you want to buy, and you get a better price if you buy it with a credit card. And I know they give you the interest free for 60 days or for 6 months. My question to you is, do you pay it off in full in 6 months? I know some of you say, well, what other reason would it be except for you want to keep your cash and you want to put it on credit? Now, I understand you may say, excuse me, I'm establishing credit, so in order to get credit, you have to have credit. Okay, because you'll need that for your FICO score, so when you buy your house, I understand that. But where does
5 or more credit cards come in and creating credit. You can do that with 2. I really just want you to look at what you're doing and be conscious about what you're doing.
I have come to experience the fact that credit cards keep us too far away from our money. And we'll pull out a credit card to do something, to buy something and purchase something faster than we will cash. I'll give you another assignment this week. I used to be amazed when I would do this. Take $100. What's the day? Today's Thursday. Okay, tomorrow, Friday. From tomorrow until next Thursday. And give yourself $100 cash. Okay? Okay, so I don't have 100, do 50. You could do 25, really. And then live on that cash money until next week. Live on that cash money until next week and see what happens. It used to always amaze me that I could live on $5 for a week. That I would just do things different. I would make different choices because I wasn't going to spend my $5. Then it would become $20. Then it may become $50. I just wasn't going to spend it. I would forget I had it sometimes. When we are in awareness of a relationship with money, we respond and treat that relationship different than we do credit cards because they're plastic. And they're like 2 steps removed from our cash. So I really want you to get clear about the fact that you more often than not have credit cards because you want to be able to do something that, in all truth, you don't have the money to do. It's just so simple. I didn't have the money to do it, but I wanted it anyway. So that's a whole other conversation about how we make ourselves feel better by buying things. How we, back in the day, they used to say, keep up with the Joneses by buying things. How we justify having certain things that we really don't need, that we just want, and we're using credit to allow us to do it.
So you move towards financial freedom, emotional freedom, spiritual freedom. You want to get from under the stress, get from under the worry, get from under the struggle with money. It's really about shifting the relationship you have with your money. And I can almost promise you, you put your credit cards up and start dealing with cash only, you will start spending in a different kind of way.
Because you'll have a different relationship with it.
And to those of you who have 5 credit cards or more, why? Why? Cut up 2 of them. Cut up 2 of them. I said that to a woman one time that I was telling you about earlier. She had 6 or 7. I said, cut up 2. She told me, well, I stopped using it. And she said, well, that's what she asked me for. Could I stop using it? I said, no. She said, well, somebody told me you could put it in the freezer. I said, and do what? Go get it unthawed and use it at a later point? Come on now. I'm talking about closing the back door for your freedom. I'm talking about closing the back door for your freedom. So what? Because you put it in a freezer? Then you want something, a concert comes to town, you think you need a dress to wear to look good on the outside because you're hurting on the inside. You got to have that new pair of shoes, so you take it out the freezer, run it through some hot water, I guess, or whatever you do to warm it up and then use it. No. No. Cut up. 5 or more credit cards, cut up 2 of them. I know they have a balance on them. Take your time, set up payments, and pay those puppies off. Call the credit card company, make arrangements with them, pay them off, and start moving toward financial freedom. Cut that addiction. Stop it. Because clients kept just for me, between me and you, I really think it's just another form of enslaving us. Do you know how much money the credit card people make? And we want to support their company with our money, as opposed to supporting our lives, our family, our business, our communities, and the world with our money.
I'm just saying, just another thought. That's what I do.
You're looking at your relationship. I really want you to look at that. But you've got an assignment this week. Got two already. I want you to pay attention to when you have money in your hand and how you feel when you're handling your money. So you can get really clear about your feelings about it. If you're angry, if you're annoyed, if you're frustrated, if you think it's not enough, it's limited. It took too long to get here. It messed up your life. It's created problems in your life. And now this one, I want you to decide on a cash amount starting tomorrow. And I want you to live on that cash. No credit card. Live on that cash because I want you to become conscious. See, credit cards are easy because we're like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll get it. And we don't have a connection to it. But you're going to see how much you have a connection to cash. You're going to see how much you really have a connection to cash, which is great. I want you to have a connection to it. Because I want you to have a connection to God, life, and the universe. And then I want you to make, I don't want to say responsible choices, but I want you to be conscious about it. If you can tell me every single thing that you bought on those 5 credit cards or 7 credit cards you needed, it was life and death. They were going to put you and your family on the street. They were going to cut off your water. They were going to cut off your life. And if that was something that you had to do to be able to stay afloat, then I say, okay, 7 credit cards worth? I'm just saying. It all has to do with your relationship, with your money and your credit card. So it's your relationship, again. It just is real and true as relationships you may have with your siblings, your partner, your spouse, your kids. It's energy that goes back and forth. And I'm calling you to be mindful of it so that you can begin to step into your financial freedom. And they're just needle point moves that you get to make for your life to be different, for you to feel different, for there to be less stress in your life. That energy with the love-hate relationship with credit cards because you feel like you're dependent on them to survive, I'm telling you, claim your freedom. Because the more you love money, the more you appreciate money, the more you open up to money and what it really is, more will come. But if you play small with it, then it shows up small. If you play I don't have enough with it, then it shows up I don't have enough. But when you flip the script and begin to say I have enough and what I have, I'm going to make it work, then more is going to come. I have more than enough and more is going to come. So I want to open up the lines, trusting that there may be some information that you may need, some clarity you may need, that's going to help you continue to move further on your journey. And again, I invite you to join us in the Facebook group. I think it's Money and Wealth Mastery. I closed it last week, so it'll just be us. So just go there and whatever you do to say you want to be a part of it, and you know you're more than welcome. That's where you can get inspiration. You can get clarification on different things that you come up above up against, or you can share your insight, what you're understanding with me and with everybody else that's in the group. There should be almost 100 of us in there so that we can begin to see the shifts that we're making. And I don't mind walking this journey with you. No one really walked the journey with me. I just made the decision on my own. God was going to be bigger. I made the decision on my own. I was going to live as the image and likeness of God. I made the decision on my own not to do credit anymore. I wanted a different kind of life, to pay off the bills, to go through that uncomfortableness of dealing with cash only, and grew into liking cash, love having cash. You know, my goal on a consistent basis is to keep at least a $100 bill in my wallet that I do not touch. So I walk around with that energy. I walk that journey. So I'm wanting that for you, and that's where a place where I can at least come in once or twice a day and support you on your journey. And like I said, we'll get through quite a bit over these next 4 weeks, but I'm going to invite some of you to come spend 3 days with me at a weekend retreat in Pasadena in May. And I'm sorry, my men. One of the guys will say, oh, I'm so excited that I get to spend 3 days with you. It's really for the women right now. Just right now. I may look at some kind of event. For those who are close enough to want to come out, where we do everyone together, just around the experience of money. So I will open the lines